want to discuss tonight an introduction to what we'll be doing this week. The topic we're going to be doing this week, pretty much everything I assigned for the entire week, focuses on one specific issue, which is arguably the most important, certainly the most contentious, one of the most commonly litigated aspects of our sugya. That is what the Chasam Sofer calls the difference between chulshas chiyusi and posek chiyusi, the difference between hindering someone's livelihood and doing something which is qualitatively or quantitatively more egregious, completely destroying it, or we'll see other definitions other than completely destroying it, but basically a different level of destruction of livelihood, which is much more serious, and many poskim are more machmeran. First, just a couple of terminology notes. The word arenda, a word you'll see numerous times in our sugya, Aleph Reish, Aleph Nun, Dalet Aleph, or thereabouts. It's a Polish word or something, and there's no obvious Hebrew spelling for it. The term refers to an arrangement which was very common in the Eastern European, Polish, and elsewhere cities, where the government would have a concession. Often it was liquor, bars, and liquor was a very common one. There were other commercial ones. There were things like the timber concession to harvest timber from a forest, stone, or other things like that. Basically, what the government would do as a source of revenue is that they would grant a legal monopoly on a certain industry, a certain type of occupation, grant either one license or a limited number of licenses, I think typically one. They would sell that for a significant amount of money to some businessman who would pay for it, and then he would have the sole right to engage in that kind of business, either do it himself or rent out the concession to others. So the government would get their cash up front. They would get a flat payment up front. They wouldn't have to be in the business of managing the industry itself. And then the Jew or the non-Jew, whoever would buy it, would then have the legal exclusive right to engage in that industry. So a common shayla among the Ashkenazic poskim, this was typically an Ashkenazic system in the countries where the Ashkenazi Jews lived, was fighting about the arenda was very common. They would either be offered at auctions, or there would just be political lobbying, and one Jew would try to displace another Jew. So that is a very commonly discussed topic about under what circumstances may a Jew attempt to gain for himself the arenda which someone else feels he's entitled to. That's what you're looking at. Another word, I don't think we'll be getting to this as much this week, but another word we'll see soon in the Shulchan Aruch is the word ma'arufya, mem ayin reish vav pei yud aleph. This is not clear what it means. The concept is clear enough. It refers to a businessman who has a steady client, someone who has been with him in a stable, committed relationship for a long time, and that barring any intrusion, barring anything rocking the boat, will presumably continue giving his business to the specific vendor in question, the specific professional. And that's a discussion about whether someone else can still not just open up a competing business, but actually try to snatch clients away from the existing person with whom he has a relationship. That's called marufia. That we'll see later in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think we'll be getting much to that this week. Just to give a kind of introduction, overview to what we're doing this week, the concept of posek chiyusi legamri, completely shutting down someone's business. Basically, what we saw last week in the Gemara was, according to the standard mainstream interpretation of the Gemara, is that there is a dispute between Rav Huna and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna said, you cannot make a chanus b'tzad chanus. You're not allowed to open. Competition in general is prohibited. Once somebody is an incumbent, has an existing business, nobody else should be opening a competing business. We don't paskin like that. According to virtually all poskim, we paskin like Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, that competition in general is mutter. There's the concept of Shechina we were discussing about special privileges people in the city have. They can still block people from outside the city, but at least with people who are Shechinim, at least with local, when both businessmen are local, free competition is permitted. Anyone from in the city, certainly from in the Mavo, is allowed to open a competing business. And we paskin, not like Rav Huna, that the fact that your business will be hurt by having more competitors, that's not something that Halacha recognizes as a claim. And that's how we passed on Shulchan Aruch. That's what we saw today, hopefully. That's the consensus of basically all the poskim. Now, there is one statement of an Avi Yosef, one of the Rishonim, the Rav Yah. There is one statement of the Avi Yosef, a very peculiar statement that the poskim all bring. He talks about a case of a cul-de-sac where the incumbent is on the far end, the back end of the cul-de-sac, and someone wants to open up on the mouth. And he says, that's a problem. You can't do that. And he mentions Rav Huna and the Gemara. So Beis Yosef just says, and this is very nice, but we don't pass like this. We don't pass like Rav Huna. This is a simple case of competition. Competition is free. No problem. So he doesn't bring this in Shulchan Aruch because he holds this is just a non-normative opinion. We don't pass like that. We pass like Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, so it's fine. However, many other Achronim, many Achronim, beginning with the Ramah, which is tomorrow's Maramakim, moving on to numerous other Achronim, probably most famously the Chassam Sofer, which we'll get to also during the week, they created an entirely new doctrine, some of them based on the Sabi Yosef, some of them based on other sources, some of them Svara. They created an entirely novel doctrine, which is the entire discussion in the Gemara about blocking someone, not blocking someone from the city, from the next city, paying taxes. All that discussion is only when the market is big enough for two, not like in Arenda where legally there's only one person in the city. Regular business, anyone can open a shoe store. You can have one shoe store, two shoe stores, three shoe stores, a big city. In a small city where the market simply cannot support two stores, that's also going to be a problem. That we'll see later, Tshuva for Moshe, other sources. But in a case where the market is large enough and legal, large enough practically, large enough legally for multiple competitors, that's where the whole sugya is discussing. Yes, no, maybe, different city, taxes. But in a case where there is not room for two of us, it's either you or me, for legal reasons, for economic reasons, for other reasons, then a whole new doctrine holds. Then we have the rule that's called posech chiyusi legamri, completely destroying my livelihood, and then you can object. This is a controversial doctrine. Many achronim hold of it, beginning with the Ramah, moving down to the Chassam Sofer, as I said, and many of the Chassam Sofer's followers, the Hungarian.
Just based on that Rashi, you says whoever comes to me is going to come, whoever comes to you is going to come.
Exactly. The Chassam Sofer in the Pesach Tshuva that I put on, I think, today or tomorrow, sources, he brings that language of Rashi, he makes that diuk, he says that Rashi says, Mishi Yavu Etzli, Yavu V'yikne, Mishi Yavu Etzlecha, only if that holds, only if there's Mishi Yavu Etzli and Mishi Yavu Etzlecha. As long as that doesn't hold, that's one of his diukim, yes, that's the Chassam Sofer Shita. And many of the Chassam Sofer's followers, his Talmidim, and many Batei Din today that follow this tradition are very machmer on this, and many Dinei Torah about our sugya. As I mentioned earlier, this is one of the most litigated issues in Chashon Mishpat. We had a case here apparently in Silver Spring before I moved here. This is one of the main issues, if not the main issue, which is often being debated by the two sides. By the two sides council, by the Beis Din. Is the market big enough for two? Can the market support both of us? One side will argue that, you know, we don't completely overlap, we have different product lines, the market is big enough. The other side will try to say no, that ultimately my store is not viable with the market. We might still get some customers, but I fall behind some break-even point. I can't do it. I don't know the details of our local case, but in general, this is probably the most thought about, most litigated aspect of our sugya. And this is what we're going to be seeing all week, several different examples of tshuvas. We're going to see a tshuva of the Ramah. This is one of the most famous tshuvas of the Ramah. It's a fascinating case. The case was the Maran Padova, a leading Achron of that time, was publishing a Rambam. In those times, the publishers were all Christians. The Christians who wanted to publish Svarim would hire a Jew to do the proofreading, editing, and to help them with the Svarim, but the business would be run by a Christian. So the Maran Padova entered into partnership with some rich, successful printer. Some other Christian, rich printer began to publish a competing Rambam. And he deliberately undercut the first one. The Ramah seems to imply he was angry at the Maran Padova for not joining his team, for joining a rival. I seem to recall once seeing an account that it was a rivalry between the two Christians. Whatever it wasn't ordinary competition. He was deliberately trying to hurt. He was selling at a loss. He was deliberately trying to do some economic damage to his rivals. So the Maran Padova appealed to the Ramah for an injunction that Jews should not buy the competing Rambam, which the Ramah enthusiastically granted for a number of reasons. Not all of them are relevant to our sugya. The one that is, which we'll see, which is on the Maran Makomos for this week, is he invokes this din. Basically, he argues that when someone deliberately undercuts you by a significant price, one zohov less, then you're destroying my ability to have a viable viable product. Another tshuva we're going to discuss is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe had a tshuva about a shul that was terribly riven by internal dissension. So a bunch of people broke off and made their own shul. And this was the sort of, I guess, like we find in the Chassidus shtibel sometimes, this was a shul that it was a parnasa for the Rav. This was his livelihood. He lived off the shul. And having half the members of the shul jump ship and go somewhere else would be a terrible, terrible hit to his livelihood. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses again this principle which he endorses, that you can't compete in such a way that you completely destroy the viability of his business. And I've been mentioning up till now the people who endorse this doctrine that complete destruction of livelihood is usur. There is a dissenting view. Unfortunately, I didn't actually assign any of the actual Ma'ar Mekomos because the major achronim who debate this, who argue against, are very long, very complicated tshuvas. The most famous is the Beis Ephraim, who wrote two successive tshuvas back-to-back on this about one particular case that was apparently a major controversy in the early 19th century. A number of poskim discussed this case. There were existing shops in a city, 40 or 50 of them, and there were a bunch of new shops that wanted to open in such a way that they were closer to the road, closer to the shuk, and they would have also siphoned off pretty much many or all the customers from the old shops by simply preempting them and being in a much better location. The incumbent shops wanted an injunction. Beis Ephraim did not grant it. He wrote about 15, 20 pages arguing at great length against it. He was so excited by what he had done that in one of the most remarkable and unusual bits in the halachic literature, he was so excited he literally burst into song at the end. He says, "I'm so happy with what I've done. I've demonstrated the truth of my position. I'm going to write a poem in celebration." He writes a poem which he explains to you has 10 stanzas, 4 lines each. He wrote two blocks of 4 stanzas representing the two sides. Then his final view, I have a copy of it. I'm not going to have time to go through the whole thing. But he goes out, he talks about how it's not fair. You can't block people from opening their business. And Baruch Hashem, I've demonstrated Ani Shalom, V'chiyadaber Hemel HaMelchama. I've demonstrated my position, he says, that Ru Ata, Ki Ani Hu Amatir, Midash, Rebuseinu HaKadoshim, Lo Tiyah Kazos B'Yisrael, this shall not stand, he says, Levatal Rishus B'Divrei Havai, for people to just get protectionist orders to block people from opening with unreasonable arguments, with nonsensical arguments, mitam mishubashim, mistaken arguments. Ve'hashomei yiske, he says, ace, yeshvu ish tachas gafnu teinasos mechim v'sasim amein. People will successfully open their businesses without people telling them what to do, and it's absolutely mutter. The Beis Ephraim is one of, as I said, probably the most important of the achronim who reject this doctrine. There are others too. When a basin has to consider the shaila, they have to consider the balance of achronim as well as some nuances or some cases where maybe most achronim would agree usur, some cases where the achronim maybe are split like this. And as you know, this week we'll see some of the major Ma'ar Mekomos. I'll speak again on Thursday. Maybe we'll discuss some more of the detail.